Okay, here we go. And a one, and a two. And welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 25. DC New 52s, number fours, part one. I have part two in my notes. I don't know why I did that. Anyway, I'm Chris Mosby, and I have a cold.
I'm Caleb Gerard, and I'm eating donuts.
Nice.
Awesome. I am Murray Fox, and I don't have a cold, and I'm not eating donuts, and that's
boring.
About it.
Boring.
Yeah, it's been a boring day.
And I was just telling the guys here just a minute ago, if you hear me go out for mute out for a second, that's probably because I'm sneezing my head off. I've been fighting this for a couple of days now, so I will do my best not to blow your earphones out. But anyway, we are going this week. This is episode 25, and that means we are 6 months into this podcast, believe it or not. And that's actually kind of cool. So 6 month anniversary today, roughly. Is that about right? Yeah, it is. We didn't skip any. We almost skipped one, but we got it. We got one in. We pulled one together at the last minute.
Yeah, we had the hiccup on the first week when I was stuck in traffic, and then.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And then last week. Whatever, or week before that, whatever week.
It was a couple weeks ago, yeah. So,
consistent every week.
Yeah, and I was going to try to get some, like a Batman kind of thing, just over that, but the cold had other ideas, so. This is actually kind of the best I've felt in the last 2 days, so it worked out pretty well. Don't want to sneeze anymore. Anyway. This week we're going to be talking about DC's New 52 books, month four, the first part, first 2 weeks, and as usual, Caleb set a good pace with that by going alphabetical in the week that they came out, so I actually have them ready to go this time instead of hearing me rustle in the background.
Well, let's get rolling.
All right, let's do it. Anything we need to talk about beforehand, or are we good?
I think we're good.
All right, then.
I got nothing.
Onward.
Okay. Well, starting with the granddaddy, Action Comics, number four.
Oh, yeah.
Grant Morrison, of course, writing it. Art by Rags Morales. And it had that kick-ass backup story. The Steel backup story in there.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
I really, really hope this is how they're going to set the these backup stories that they've been talking about, where it's like between panels.
Yeah, I like that.
Where the backup story is part of it adds to, but not necessarily mandatory, but obviously since it's in the same comic, there's no reason not to read it. I loved it. I'm
sorry about that.
That's cool. I'm back on the Grant Morrison train, at least in terms of Superman.
Yeah. When he's he is writing just straightforward stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good. It is very good.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it too. Like we've talked about before, you know, I think all of us are, well, I'm not, I know Caleb, I think Caleb agrees with me, but I'm kind of hit and miss on his stuff. Man, this is the good stuff here, for sure.
Yeah, when he puts down the needle, I think it's pretty, he puts out some really kick-ass superhero stuff.
Okay. Interesting, yeah. Interesting comment, but...
Yeah,
that's fine.
I don't know. Maybe it's a crack pipe. I don't know. Whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, you know. Yeah. I kind of got the feeling that he was a little high when he did Final Crisis, or somebody was. Or maybe I wasn't high enough when I read it. Maybe that was it. But that was another universe ago, so we won't even bring that up.
That's right. Superman is not singing in Action Comics.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Oh, that was something else. Every once in a while, he writes something that's like, what? You read it again, it's like, no, I still don't get it.
It's It's still a what?
Yeah.
I need to break out the Invisibles. I haven't read that for, or at least the first edition of that for a millennia, so I'll come back.
I don't think I've ever read that, but I've heard of it.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
And the backup story, like I said, this is John Henry Irons finally becoming, you know, this is the new version of John Henry Irons as Steel. He was a hero that was first introduced back during the Death of Superman storyline back in whatever year that was.
90s.
And they're reintroducing him as, again, a hardcore scientist, but also a superhero, sort of in the vein of Tony Stark.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good assessment.
And, he's a black man, which is, I'm glad they stuck with that because there's a good amount of color in the comic books, so to speak.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see how they present him in present day.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and a reminder, these actions, currently it's still 5 years or 6 years ago, whatever the
it's like in between 5 and 6 because he came out long before the Justice League. He'd been around a while when the Justice League came together. I think I'd read that.
That's right. He doesn't have the suit of armor that he has in Justice League.
Yeah, and he can't fly yet either.
Oh, is that? Yeah, you're right. He's been doing the leap tall buildings thing. Mm-hmm.
Which just reminded me of something somebody had mentioned at work about, Superman not being able to fly. And I was like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. But then I should just remember that that's probably the new stuff.
But the John Henry Irons story, very good. I'm as I said before, I like that they're setting it. It takes place, the backup story in this takes place during the main story. Mm-hmm. It's sort of, you're reading along and then the main story kind of takes a almost leap forward in time, and that's missing piece of time is covered in the backup story, which was great. I thought that perfect. You don't have to go out and buy another comic book. You just flip to the back of the book when you're done with the first story, and bam, there it is.
Yeah, and like I'd said before, if they're going to do that, and I know they're going to do it with Detective and Batman. If they're going to do that, they need to have a backup story and not like what Justice League had done. And have like text pieces or Jim Lee sketches. I think they need to actually have a story there for it to be worth the $3.99.
Totally.
Pardon me.
Any other discussion on Grant Morrison's Action Comics?
Only thing I gotta say is I cannot wait till we discuss number 5. Because that was his best yet. That kicked ass. So many levels.
I'm waiting until we can discuss Batman number 5, but that's
oh, yeah. That's another good one. Another
one. Right. Well, then, Animal Man. Jeff Lemire, writing it. Travel Foreman, drawing it. Now, number 4, after coming face-to-face with the mysterious totems, Buddy learns the truth about his daughter Maxine's destiny, but it may be too late, as the Red, which is this Animal Man's equivalent of the Green from Swamp Thing, the Red infiltrated by agents of the Other, and Buddy struggles to control his new unfiltered powers with deadly results.
Oh my.
Meanwhile, Ellen and Cliff must face the Last Hunters alone. Dun dun dun!
Yes.
Love this book. Love it.
Yeah, it is great.
I've seen your comments on the Facebook page, yeah. I might get it traded out later on. Who knows?
It'll trade great. It will absolutely be a great collected story. I have no doubt.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's just at the time it was my thing, and with some of them dropping, I might be able to do that later.
Yeah, no, it's good. It is telling a good story, and you're right. It'll read really well as a collected. As a collected story, it's all hanging together really well.
Cool.
It's one of the ones, again, like OMAC, that I don't feel like I necessarily need a refresh from the, a refresh text piece saying, hey, here's what happened in the previous issues.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Lemire handles the handles recapping what's gone on before very well with as part of the story, not as superfluous, talky talk, as right. Murray would say. it's just, you know, it's, hey, you know, this is how the hell I got to this point, and Lemire, he was hit and miss with me on Superboy back in the previous universe, but this so far, with this, he's been really on top of things.
Yeah, I want to like his stuff, and I mean, I'll be honest, you know, because I read his Essex County stuff because the guys on, you know, Legion podcast kept talking about it, and it was good, and then he starts doing this stuff for DC in Vertigo, and I just haven't been able to get into it. It's just not my, I don't know, his style doesn't click with me like I've heard a lot of people say, but that's just me. So nothing wrong with it.
He's Canadian, right, Murray?
He is, yeah.
Yeah, he is. So, but anyway.
That's for nothing. I'm just
a... No, that's fine. It's just, I don't know. I just can't get into it. It might have to do with the characters involved, because, you know, he's doing the Swamp Thing and the other, and I never was a really big fan. I tried it. It just didn't appeal to me. So, nothing to say about the quality of it, though.
Okay. Hello?
Yes?
Oh, somebody's phone's ringing. Yeah.
Not mine.
Okay. Must be Murray.
Okay. Well, since he's silent, yes. Next up.
Next up we have
Batwing.
Batwing, number 4.
Yes, I'm still reading that.
I'm behind.
Really enjoying it. One of the things that Murray had mentioned that he didn't like the art in it, and they got a new artist in here, Chris Cross. I'm sure some of you might recognize that name. And it does seem better to me. I like the story. It's really good. This goes back, and you know, you knew the Batwing character, which I can't remember his real name, but off the top of my head. But he goes into more detail about his past, and he was like one of those indentured child soldiers of this warlord, and kind of details exactly the kind of stuff that he did, and they, you know, he killed a lot of people, but at one point he was told to kill, you know, innocent women and children, and he didn't, went against the warlord, and kind of tells what happened, and probably why he's doing what he's doing now. So
I like this book. I mean,
I do too.
I gotta catch up. I'm behind. Yep. I admit it. I last one I read, he had just it was number 3, and I know number 5 is out. It's sitting in my to read pile along with number 4. I'll get to it.
Yeah. I piled through. A couple weekends ago. I piled through a bunch of them. And I actually got all caught up. The only ones I have to read were the ones I bought last Wednesday. So, but I'm really liking that. This is I usually like Winnick stuff for whatever reason, and I'm really liking this one. So,
now is he still on the first storyline, or is it kind of wrapping up?
No, I think they're gonna. This is kind of like an interlude. I think they didn't talk about. Just barely, they talked about that guy massacre going after the kingdom. And I'm not mistaken, in number 5, I'd have to look. Batman's involved, I think, but I know that the chase, because it's already been in solicitations, that the chase for this massacre guy goes to Gotham City, and he ends up teaming up with Batman, Robin, Batgirl, and Nightwing.
Well, it's gonna be part of the Court of Owls storyline.
Yeah,
right?
I think it is involved with that. Yeah. Okay. So.
Cool.
So, do the first 3 issues? Do they form kind of like a mini story, or like if you were to read those first 3, is it sort of a satisfying?
I don't think so. Yeah. Well, it gets into. why he's doing what he's doing, and he, you know, the massacre guy, and he's killing these old, well, there was that African superhero group called the Kingdom, and they disappeared, right. And that's who he's going after, and it all ties into that, and there's a little bit of that in number four, but it's more about Batwing's background than anything.
And I think they're setting him up. And again, I hate to use the comparison, you know, one black guy to another black guy, but he's kind of setting set him up to be like the James Rhodes War Machine Batman. You know, he's not on, you know how James Rhodes is not on Tony Stark's level, but mm-hmm. he still goes out, he kicks ass as War Machine.
Right.
They're setting this guy up. You know, he's not on Bruce Wayne's level, but mm-hmm. you know, he's still, you know, he kicks ass as Batwing on his own mm-hmm. with help. You know, with all of Wayne Tech.
Right, and he did take a machete to the chest and still kicking. So.
Oh man, I know that was. Whew.
Yeah, I mean, he was a little wobbly, but he did still kick some ass.
Yeah, I thought, oh great, we're gonna get a new Batwing already.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's working out good.
And it looks like they're planning on spinning him into a couple of other titles. Like he's going to be part of that Night Owl. What is it? The Court of Owls storyline.
Court of Owls. We were just talking about that.
I think he's also going to make some appearances in Justice League International. So
that's right. He is. Yeah, I saw that solicitation.
So it looks like he's getting a bit of a push, which is good.
Yeah, I think it's like a good character. I think they've done a good job with it. It's not just a generic quote, you know, offshoot of Batman. There's some meat to it, so it's pretty good.
Yeah, he will. It'll last, and I honestly, if they're going to continue doing these miniseries, they got to do a Kingdom one. They've got to do a Kingdom miniseries.
That would be cool. That would be cool.
I would be happy to at least take a look at it, and, mm-hmm. and if it's of the same caliber as this, I would buy it. Hopefully, it doesn't reduce down to the. What was the Chinese one they did
Great Ten.
Great Ten, right, yeah.
That was a good series.
It was good, but they don't finish it.
Well, they cut it short. I mean, the way they were going to do it, they were going to have, you know, one for every one of the ten, and then it's like, oh, no, you're stopping at nine. And and they just had to, you know, wrap it up. And I don't know. It was.
At least they got iffy. August. They got August General over in Justice League International.
So. Mm-hmm. That's actually an interesting character. I think they actually told his origin in there.
Oh,
but that was a good. You know, that's a good. Another good instance of Tony Bedard. Wasn't it Tony Bedard? Yeah. He's a really good writer, and if they just give him, you know, enough leeway to do what he needs to do. So. Anyway, yeah,
rope to hang himself. And Murray, you were off answering your phone, but Chris noted that you know, Chris Cross is now doing the art on Batwing.
At least that one, anyway.
Oh, see, that I would look in on.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Let's see next month here while we're at it.
Take a peek.
Number five is it's back to Ben Oliver.
Okay.
All right.
Never mind.
Well, you know. But, I mean, it's a good issue, so.
There we go. Well, it's good. It's good to have those little standalones that people can check out. And.
Well, and I'm glad they're doing that so that the artists can keep up. They need to, and I know they're doing it with other books, they need to schedule those little breaks like that so they can keep up, you know.
And they, I, again, when we were kids, I had no problem with fill-in issues. I mean, there's so much push for continuity, month to month to month to month, so they can collect these things as trades. But you know what? Mm-hmm. Throw in a fill-in, or at least a fill-in artist, or whatever. I don't care.
Yeah. Whatever they got to do to get the books out.
Yep.
So, anyway.
Yep.
That's a good one.
Detective number four, Tony Daniels writing, doing the art as well with Sandu Floria. I think the guy's name is doing the
that's the correct
team. Batman uncovers a new
Pardon me.
Far-reaching tentacles, yummy, that touch some of the city's most elite citizens, he finds himself facing off against the newest and most fearsome foes, Dollmaker and his twisted family of killers. Have not been reading, Detective.
Well, my standpoint is, you know, the first one came out before the Batman, so, you know, it was awesome. It's still a lot better writing than Daniel has done in the past. It's just confusing. I think he's trying to do too much plot in there. I'm not sure. And in fact, and some of these, this isn't the only one I've had to do that to. Maybe just because I'm getting older. But sometimes I get to like the fourth issue or the fifth one, and I'm like, I have no idea what's going on here. And I have to go get the other ones and read through them and then catch up. And sometimes it helps, and sometimes it doesn't. I'm not really sure. I don't know where they're going with this Dollmaker thing and the whole deal with, you know, Joker's face at police headquarters. But this Dollmaker was seriously twisted. And there was brainwashing little kids, one little kid, and filming Batman getting the crap beat out of him for paying audience and online. And,
yeah. So how is he different than Dr. Pig from Batman and Robin?
See, I don't know. That's part of the thing is that you really don't get what his thing is. He's working for somebody, obviously.
Oh, okay, all right.
And you know, he dressed up a bunch of his goons like the Joker and had them attack Batman. And there's like deals with body parts, and you know, they even took some body parts away from or part of Gordon's skin, or I don't know. It's kind of hard to follow, but it's still engaging enough to read. I don't remember if I read the fifth one or not. I don't know. But anyway, one thing they've done in here, he's actually got a love interest. It's like she's like a reporter. But it's not Vicky Vale. It's somebody else. I don't remember who it is. But he actually, you know, does the Catwoman thing. He just not as graphic with her. So.
Ooh, he is a flop.
Yeah, which, you know, it might be part of the Bruce Wayne persona, or he might be doing what they'd done in original, because when Batman first came out, he had an actress that he was actually engaged to, and eventually they wrote her out, but that might be part of it, that, you know, he's not playing the fop and not actually doing anything with women, he's actually, you know, whatever, to keep the Bruce Wayne part up. But I don't see that in any other book, so it just might be something Daniel's doing. So, it's still good, and it's just, I'm not sure where he's going with it, you know?
Well, it won't be long before that's the only book he's concentrating on, so maybe it'll get a little clearer.
Yeah.
What's his other title that he's dropping? I'm sorry.
Savage Hawkman.
Oh, right.
I don't know if that's dropping, is it being pulled off of it. But. And I'm sure it'll be so much better with Mr. Liefeld doing plots on that. So
that's all right. I think for whatever Tony Daniel seems to click with Batman, so it makes sense to keep him on that title. And if they're going to expand it and he's doing well with it, it makes sense to keep him there.
Right.
For the Batman too, so
especially if he's writing and drawing it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
All right, I don't know if any of us are reading this next one, and maybe you are, Chris. Green Arrow.
I'm still getting it.
And Juergens doing the writing with Juergens and Perez doing the art.
Well, I'll have to admit, it's a little better, but not as good as I thought it was going to be. It still got that feel. Do you guys ever read that Teen Titans?
Yes.
Series with the Atom like, you know, you got de-aged, and this is what it reminds me of. It's still got that 90s feel to it.
It's really got that look to it, Ed.
Yeah, I mean, it's because
it's the same art team, so.
Say what?
Yeah. Oh, it's
perfume. As
well, actually, yeah, it is. So, it's still got. I mean, that's just what I'm getting. It's still got that '90s look. And the only reason I'm still getting it, and I even bought number 5. You know, I'm waiting for that Nocetti to get in. I'm gonna keep. I think. I don't know. It's still interesting, but it's still got the. It's like, I don't know. I've always liked Green Arrow, and I've said before I got the whole Mike Grell run and all the Kevin Smith stuff and all that other stuff with Connor and all that. And it's just that I keep wanting that, and I shouldn't. But I don't know. But this Blood Rose that's on the cover looks a lot like that Shadow Chick from Longbow Hunters, but it's definitely not something totally different.
Right. Well, I give them credit for attempting to create to bring in new characters. I mean, you got for that, you know, find it easy just to pull in Shadow. I mean, that's a gimme, but try and do something new. But is she different than Shadow?
Oh yeah, completely different. She's uses guns. She doesn't use arrows. And at the end of the issue, it looks like she's even got super strength, but she didn't use any of it.
Okay.
When she fought him. So, that was kind of strange.
Because Shadow, I mean, Grell created an awesome character with her.
Yeah, I love that character, which, you know, they even had a child together.
Yes, they did.
Right.
It wasn't Connor Hawk, but still. That distinction wasn't really made until that series that Chuck Dixon did, and I can't remember the name of it. It had Connor Hawk in it. It had something to do with dragons. I can't remember. But I always thought that was her son, but it's not. Well, at least in the previous universe, which, you know, that's all up in the air now.
It's all gone.
But anyway.
Is there much of a supporting cast now in Green Arrow, or is it still?
Yeah, he's got at least two people that know who he is. That's got this one chick, and I can't, you know, that's like Oracle, and another guy that does all his tech, and you know, he's the owner or something of Q Corps, and they got like the board is on him trying to, you know, put him in a box so they can run the company without his influence, and it's better, but it's still mediocre, and unless, I mean, I'm being honest, when Ann and Seti takes over, I'll read that one, and if it's better, then I'll keep it. If it's not, then I'll go ahead and drop it. I probably should go ahead because I keep expecting the old, you know, Green Arrow, the older crotchety guy, and that's just not going to happen.
No, older crotchety guy.
What was that, Murray? I'm sorry.
This is the CW Green Arrow.
Yeah, and about that, I don't know if you guys heard about that. That they're working on a show called Arrow. But it's basically even farther removed from Green Arrow than even this is. It's not going to be the one that was on Smallville, but they're working on that.
Had not heard that.
Yes, yes, they are. They want to recapture the Smallville thing.
Well, if it works, good, but...
Yeah, I probably won't watch it. I don't know.
Well, no, because you're a teenage girl.
Well, that's true. I don't even know if we have CW, to tell you the truth. Anyway.
Well, you're not keeping up on Vampire Diaries? Come on.
Oh, good lord. No. Now, if they made an iVampire show, I'd watch that. We going to talk about Huntress?
Sure.
We're not there yet.
Oh, wait. Hawk and Dove,
no.
Of course.
Hawk and Dove.
Anybody that's reading Hawk and Dove, please speak out now. Up now.
I read this one.
Oh, you did?
I did. I read this one. Absolutely, I did.
Did it fall into your stack, or they gave it to you for free because they had too many, or what?
They gave it to me at the store. They absolutely gave it to me.
I had a feeling.
All kidding aside, I was bagging on the book, and none of them liked it either, and they just handed me a copy.
Here, get rid of this. Here, we'll take money off your order if you just take some.
Please, we'll pay you to read it.
Okay, well.
Anyway. I've read worse comics. I really have. I have read worse comics. I've read better. But I think this is, if not Sterling, this is approaching the end of Sterling Gates' run on the book, but as well as the book itself. But it's typical Rob Liefeld art. The dialogue was much better than number one.
I see some feet on the cover, even.
There's feet on the cover. Well, at least there's
little bitty ones.
Pointy things. I mean, she on the cover, she's the size of his whole torso.
pretty much, yeah.
The villains, you know, they're typical. The anti Hawk and Dove is what they basically are. Mm-hmm. Swan and somebody else. I don't remember.
Condor.
Condor and Swan. I prefer
Swan.
The Deadman.
Huh? That's a very scary villain name, by the way. Swan. Yeah. Swan. Anyway, go ahead. Continue.
I'm scared of ducks, so.
Okay.
If they had made one called Duck, I would have been, all right, I'm there.
The Quacker.
Quacker. Yikes.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Hold on. I got to go wash my brain.
Cold medicine is kicking in.
You know, it's a good use of procedurals. You know, he kind of there's some scenes in a interrogation room. Mm-hmm. They bring in Dead Man as a I guess he's kind of the recurring guest hero in this book, but he's much better over in, by the way, much better over in Justice League Dark. I don't know. I won't read number 5, 6, 7, or 8. Mm-hmm. I admit it freely, but. You know what? I can see where the appeal is to some people in this book. I recognize it. I just don't agree with it. So.
Yeah, I think that was one of their probably the one of the worst ideas they came up with.
What?
For titles, I think. Well, I don't know. It was a good idea, just executed wrong. If they had, you know, somehow brought the Brightest Day, Hawk and Dove, that one were in there and stuck with it, it might have been better, but I don't know.
Well, I can see where they were going. Like, they were going off of, yeah, they had a good run on Brightest Day. They were pretty popular there.
That was really good stuff, I thought.
Yeah. And Rob Liefeld is, I think, fondly remembered for that series. Like, I mean, that series back in the day is very fondly remembered, and Liefeld was a part of it. So I think they were hoping they would be able to, you know, capitalize on those two positives and create something new that would catch on. I'm surprised that it didn't last longer. Like I didn't figure I was going to buy it. It wasn't something I wanted, but I figured that there were enough people that it would last longer than it did.
I would admit that this was the one of the six that was canceled that I was the most surprised about. As much as I didn't like it,
really,
with you, Murray, I thought that there was enough of a cult following.
Yeah, I figured
that was the one I was least surprised about. But, but go ahead.
Well, like I mean, I think if they just went by numbers, then yeah, you can see why it was canceled. But I was surprised that the numbers got as low as they did for that book. Like I figured there were people out there that wanted Hawk and Dove no matter what. So
yeah,
I was surprised.
Yep. I agree. The other ones didn't surprise me as much as this one is. Again, didn't probably my least favorite, as I've said numerous times here, but, I didn't realize the numbers on it. Cause I don't keep track of those. Maybe one of you guys do, but I didn't see them.
I post things in the Facebook forum, but I don't usually get a chance to read them.
Yeah.
I post things, but I won't read them.
Well, you know. A lot of the time I do that. I read enough of it. Yeah, the guys probably think this, you know, so. And,
it's in the headline.
Yeah.
So, but we'll get Liefeld drawing shoulder pads over in Deathstroke in a few months here.
Yeah, so. I was going to ask if the villains had shoulder pads.
They all do. They all got that sweeping thing on the top, and all the women's boobs are just bubbles on the front of their bodies.
Oh, lovely.
Right.
Which I really shouldn't say anything, because stick figures are a stretch for me, so...
And Murray, back to, you know, his original stuff, it was groundbreaking back when he originally did Hawk and Dove. There was nobody else doing it. So it was distinctive. It was cool with a K, a K-E-W-L, by the way.
Cool. Got it.
But now it's dated. We've seen it for 25 years, and it's time to move on.
Yeah, they tend to overdo it when they see, you know, they get something like big, don't they?
All right.
Anyway. Huntress, number 3, Paul Levitz on the typewriter, Marcus Toe and John Dell doing the art chores. This is number 3 that we're talking about here, not number 4, which is important because lots of spoilers come up in number 4. But the Huntress has vowed to take down one of the most powerful mob bosses in Europe. And who's the even more powerful man behind him? And why is she facing a showdown in the ancient ruins of Pompeii? I'll let you guys talk in this case. I like this book. I'm just, I probably not as big a fan of it as you guys are.
Did I get it?
I got it.
Oh, no. I'm just,
I thought number 3 was probably a little weaker than the first two issues.
Yeah, I'd go with that.
It's fine. It's good. It's a good, solid story. But for whatever reason, I was not feeling number 3 as much as I was feeling number 1 and 2.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, I can see where you get that from. It was like it was, trying to stretch the story out a little bit.
So could this have been? Yeah, I was about to say, could this have been 4 issues and not 6?
It's very possible.
Maybe. Issue 3 seemed to me like there were a lot of new faces introduced, or I just wasn't following the backstory of some of these guys all that well. But to me it seemed a little. Yeah, maybe a little stretched out, or a little cluttered, or I don't know. I wasn't feeling number 3. There were some, like the battle scene in the ruins. There is pretty cool, and
yeah.
Levitt seems to be taking on the Morrison-esque thing where he scene jumps with little to no transition from scene to scene. Am I just
Yeah, I can see that.
And he's always kind of done it, though, I think.
Oh, has he? Okay.
I think so. I think back to some of his old Legion stuff. And
the current Legion seems to do that. So
the current Legion does it, too. But I'm thinking, like, way back, he would still do scene jumps. We'd probably get, like, a little Encyclopedia Galactica
blurb
or something to give you a little heads up, but even towards the end of his run, there were sometimes his transitions, I get a little lost occasionally, or I figure like, oh, there's a panel or two missing here. I just need one more panel to set the stage. But there you go. I will take that over wordless books any day.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Cold War. I'm sorry.
Cold War got better.
Okay, I'm gonna see if they've got a copy of number 2 at the store.
I actually read. Speaking of that, I actually bought some of the ones on Comicology that you were talking about, Caleb. I haven't read them yet.
I hope one of them was the boys. No, I know it wasn't.
It was Infestation. I bought. They had a sale on them.
Oh, they did. They had a huge Infestation sale.
Yeah, and I bought a bunch of them.
So I almost feel like this book is just is a filler trying to, okay, we know that these are the Earth 2 and World's Finest are coming up. I'd be kind of curious, given the timing of when those books are coming out and when this miniseries is ending. I'm taking a total tangent here, guys. Sorry.
No, that's fine.
Did they know going, I mean, going into this, six books are going to go away. Or at least we got to make room for these two, quote unquote, Earth 2 books to, right. To come in. And 52 seems to be their magic number. I wonder if they already knew, hey, you know, at least two of you are going to be gone by the end of 8 months here.
I'm sure that they did. They might not have known which ones.
Right.
But I think they planned on that. That some of them weren't going to make it.
I wonder if like Didio or Didio and Giffen would have fallen on the sword if everyone had been doing really well and they needed to make room. If they would have said, okay, you know what? You can go ahead and whack OMAC, regardless, even if the sales had been there. I'm total speculation.
Yeah, yeah.
This is totally in the realm of fantasy question, but.
Well, I would have to think that they would. I mean, you got 52 books in a whole new universe. I mean, just the law of averages, the fact, one being that it's all new stuff, that some of them are not going to make it.
Yeah.
That just seems like common sense to me.
I think they said, okay, everybody, we're going to gather you in a room, okay. Sort of like in G.I. Jane, you know, where they say, you know, historically, only a certain number of you are going to make it past through this program. So just so you know, at least two of you, if not more, are going to be gone in 8 months. So don't screw up.
Yeah.
I just wondered, the timing, I mean, they had to make room for Justice League, or for JSA, or Earth 2, or whatever, and World's Finest.
Well, and they'd already said right after this started that Batman Inc. was coming. So yep. You knew at least one was getting.
Oh, there's
going.
Three. There's three then. Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
Wow.
They'd already said that. So, yeah.
I don't know if they knew about World's Finest, though. Like, I know.
You see that?
The Earth 2 Justice Society thing was kind of always, right. Like, since at least, like, it's been in the works for a long time. But
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm just thinking World's Finest maybe came about a little later, like, after a couple of scripts had already been written for Huntress. Like, I don't think they wanted to lock themselves in one way or the other yet.
Mm-hmm. They wanted to see how popular it was. And I wouldn't be surprised if the script from this one came while they were deciding it.
Yep.
And he was, you know, holding back a little bit with the main thing because they were trying to figure out whether she was going to be in Earth 2 or not.
Yeah.
That's total speculation on my part.
Well, for sure. Like, yeah, like, what are they going to do with this character? Are they've got a miniseries, and then what? Are they going to throw her in Birds of Prey? Is something else going to come along? Or?
And I think Caleb had mentioned that he thought maybe that Batgirl was her replacement.
Actually, Murray, yes.
No, did you say that was Murray?
Yeah,
said
yeah.
That?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, so. Then, yeah, that's very possible that that's what happened then.
Either way, it is a good series. And
yeah.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
I'm by the time we get around to talking about number four, I think number five, maybe even number six might be out by that point.
It's very possible, yeah.
Another book I'm not reading, which surprises me, but I'm not, is Justice League International.
Well, you know, it's funny that you bring that up.
Okay. I like to be funny. I try.
Well, I haven't read it yet, but I saw on either CGS, or excuse me, CBR, or I think it was CBR. Where is it? And I posted this in the forum, I think.
Are you reading it, Murray?
I read the first two issues, and I haven't gone back to it yet. I kind of flipped through it in the shop each week that I go in, thinking, maybe I'll pick it up.
I've been getting it.
Right. I was going to give you a chance to look for your the story.
Yeah, go ahead. Maybe they pulled it.
It looks like a book, I don't know, like, I think I would like it. I like the idea of like, all these international heroes together and stuff. Mm-hmm. And Aaron Lopresti does beautiful artwork.
I
so,
hear it.
So it's got, like, I mean, it's got two things that I like, so mm-hmm. I should be reading it.
yeah, okay, on the 27th on Friday, they posted an interview about it, and it says, Jurgens regroups with Justice League International, and I haven't read it yet. But it's, I mean, just that title makes you think that they're changing the tone and maybe even those three dreaded words, bold new direction.
I think he's always planned, though, that the membership's going to be kind of fluid, so it might just be some members are leaving, some members are coming in.
And they got one of the issue covers showing Batwing in it.
Yeah.
But anyway, as far as the book number four goes, I mean, it's good. It's got action in it. I'm not... Batman just seems kind of weird in here to me. He's a lot more toned down than in the other books he's in. I wouldn't call it average, but I wouldn't call it awesome. So I think this would be an above average book. Does that make sense?
Totally.
I think in bringing Batwing in is a smart move, because I think people, you know, don't like the Spider-Man Wolverine every title thing happening.
I think they need to take Batman out and put him in there. I think it would work better.
Yeah, or at least, I mean, if they're going to revive the Batman Inc. concept, there's plenty of characters they could draw on. They, you know, throw Batwoman in this book, for goodness sake. I mean,
or Mr. Nobody from Japan. And
oh man, that would be so cool.
Yeah, it would. I like that character. Was that the name of it, or is it just Nobody? I don't remember. But yeah, it's still pretty good. And even though they're calling this guy Paraxis, I still think it's Mongol. I mean, it sure looks like him.
Well, that's right. I didn't do the recap, but yeah, they're mm-hmm. all the Earthbound heroes are fighting a cosmic threat in this mm-hmm. book. So
yeah, and I will note that the mysterious woman with black hair that was on the very first promo image that then was disappeared and then had somebody else in the spot, they got her in here again. Looks like she might be coming later on, so whatever she is.
So they'll get to her eventually.
Yeah, which I thought that was kind of cheesy that they did that. I mean, you know, whatever.
Well, they did that Secret Wars number one with Kitty Pryde.
But, did they?
A real throwback. Yeah, and the promo posters for Secret Wars, Kitty Pryde was on the posters, and then
that's right. She didn't go, did she? Yeah. Okay.
There's precedence.
I'm sure there is.
25 years ago, precedence, but there's precedence.
Well, I think they did that with Marvel. Did it with that Shattered Heroes thing that they're doing too. I think Thor was on one of the pictures, and they put some other guy in there. Anyway.
And this book will be. Jurgens or somebody's going to get plenty of time with this book. This book is not going anywhere.
No, and this might be another one that's better traded too.
Okay.
But I mean, I still like it. There's plenty of action in it and everything. It's just, it's not Batman. But it's not Hawk and Dove either. So
Hawk and Dove or Savage Hawkman.
Yeah, that's like the two. Yeah, well, Savage Hawkman is even lower than Hawk and Dove, I think. But that's the two realms of the spectrum, and this kind of fits somewhere in the middle, closer to Batman than the other.
It's falling down that side of the bell curve. Okay.
Yeah, that's where we're going with it. Yeah.
Yes, Murray, I'm trying to get you back into the school mindset. Okay.
Yeah, excellent. I got time.
Next, Looney Tunes. No, I'm kidding. Man, there's 200 issues of that thing. Okay. Men of War, number four, written by Ivan Brandon and V. Clay Moore, by Tom Denarek and Paul McCaffrey. Again, focusing on the new Sergeant Rock and the new Easy Company, excuse me. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know what this backup story is. I stopped at number one, so I haven't been reading this book.
No, I think I accidentally got like a number three, but it didn't do me any good.
Didn't do you any good.
No, it just didn't click. And I was actually looking forward to that one because of the Sergeant Rock connection. So I just I don't know. That's one of those good idea but not well executed, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, part of me thinks if you're going to do a war story, you might as well just do straight up war, like either set it in World War II or set it in Iraq, or just like do plain old war rather than bringing in the superhero element to it, which is what they seem to have done. But
it was a good idea. I mean, you know, but it just didn't read well.
Uh-huh.
And that might have been. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, having said that, I probably wouldn't read like a straight up war book anyway. So.
I mean, I've read the ones that Garth Ennis did for Dynamite were really good. They weren't no holds barred, and he's very historically accurate. And it's little pieces of World War II and write like a 3-issue thing on it, and you know, it's full on language, and you know, there's some nudity in there too, but I mean, it's a good book. It seemed authentic. It's not like somebody's like, hey, I want to write a war book, and then it's in World War II, and then you know, but this, he did his research on it. I guess that's probably why it didn't click with me, because it wasn't anywhere near on par with that. I don't know if any of you guys read any of that stuff.
I did not.
Yeah, he did a series stuff. They put it under Battlefield's title, and they had like 3 issues was about a English tank crew, and one of them was about Russian women pilots.
Trace X.
And then, you know, he'd do one on some Germans, you know, or Nazis. Well, no, he didn't do Nazis. He did Germans. It's a small distinction, but yeah, they were really good. I've got some of those. I got some of those in trade, but I got a friend of mine I work with. He's a really, really big World War II buff. And, you know, anything has to do with, like, something like that, he was like, oh, that's wrong, this is wrong, that's the wrong kind of plane. And he didn't have any complaints about that in these books. So that tells you how, you know, he really did his research on them.
All right. So, OMAC, number 4, Dan Didio, Keith Giffen, and Scott Koblish. Kevin Coe versus Bio Gators.
Yeah.
I have to say that that's probably the next sci-fi original movie. Attack of the Bio Gators. Yeah.
Great issue. Great issue. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how these wasn't making numbers. This was just
pure. No, and I tell you, I'm kind of disappointed with how they, because when the rumors came about it being canceled, and they're like, oh no, we're not canceling this, and then they go ahead and cancel it, I think that's kind of crappy.
Yeah, but they did the same thing with Firestorm. You know, they're like, Gelsman's not going anywhere. Gelsman quit.
Yeah. I don't know. This is still good, and of the ones that are being canceled, I'll probably go ahead and read it up until it's canceled.
I'll miss you, Mr. Ball.
Yeah.
But they're going to collect up through 8. I mean, I saw the resolicits on the trade paperbacks for the books, and they're going to collect this one up through 8, as well as the other canceled books. So.
Yeah. Which I'm glad.
Yeah.
They could have tried to squeeze an extra $6 out of us and just had 3 issues in the...
That's right.
Or 2 issues and... Volume 2. I'm glad
they canceled Cavalcade.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't do what Marvel would have done and done that.
Yeah. Fun book. Great. The Bio Gators. I mean, for goodness sake. I mean, these two are totally channeling Kirby.
Oh, yeah.
I said it before. I'm not a Kirby art fan, but I'm a Kirby idea fan.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
So...
Mm-hmm.
OMAC, we do really well.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's sad.
Maybe they'll bring it back as a web series or something, or maybe eventually they'll just put out just
a real anthology book.
Well, no, I'm thinking like just for iPads or something, or not just for iPads.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know, like just on Comixology. Maybe they'll do some series that are just.
Yeah.
Just
well, they are doing that. They did that with Batman Arkham City. thing.
Yeah, like straight to DVD or something. But
yeah, who knows? Who knows?
That would, you know what? That would totally though put them to the test on what is the real potential for the digital books. Because to date, we still don't know what the digital sales are.
They're never going to release those. I don't think they ever will, because it'll probably scare the hell out of the comic book stores.
But here's the thing, though. If they decide to go, you know, digital only with a book, I think if even if we don't know the numbers, it will definitely show that they have strong faith in that as a market.
Now, remember, they've got that thing with Batman Beyond coming up.
What?
Yeah, how they're bringing Batman Beyond back is... Well, they're calling it something else. I forget what the name of it was. They've already solicited the collected editions deal, but what they're going to do is they're put out like a 99-cent title that comes out maybe weekly or whatever. I'm not sure. It might just be monthly. Only on Comicology, and then after so many of them come out, then they collect it into paper form.
How many pages on Comicology?
You know, I don't know.
Oh, that'll be interesting. I mean,
they mentioned that a while back, but I know
I would go for 15 or more pages.
Yeah. Oh, I think I'm pretty sure it's that much. Okay. And I had already ordered on DCBS the collected versions of it because I really liked that whole universe, and I do not remember how much they were, what the name of it was, because it was so long ago.
Yeah, I can't remember either. They're doing like the Batman Beyond and the Superman Beyond or something, and it'll be a neat thing to see. Like, it'll be neat to see what
Batman Beyond Unlimited is what it's
called. Okay.
And wasn't that the name of the Justice League group in the Batman Beyond cartoon? Was Justice League on... No, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. Never mind.
I'm doing a search on that.
In the meantime...
Yes, that was back in November. That's why it's so hard to remember. It mentions that. Beginning in February, which should be next month, DC Comics will be launching Batman Beyond Unlimited, a monthly print periodical, which will collect chapters from various digital series. Releasing weekly, Justice League Beyond and Batman Beyond will come out as individual chapters prior to and in conjunction with the collected 48-page monthly Batman Beyond Unlimited print edition. So
48 divided by 8. So they're not going to be that long then.
No, They'll probably be a buck though. Because they're already doing that with that Arkham City thing.
So probably somewhere around 12 pages per download. They're going to do like two Batman, two Justice League Beyonds or whatever.
Yeah, they've got a section on Comicology called Digital Firsts. And they got Batman Arkham Unhinged is the name of it. And I just picked one at random. Number 15, it's 99 cents and 22 pages. But it looks like they're going to be a little bit less on the other, so... So that's what they're going to do.
That is the price point they should all be at.
Yeah, and that might be why they're looking at it that way.
99 cents. That's
my... But anyway, so you can get it both ways that way.
Oh, yeah, both ways.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
But anyway, yeah, I'd forgot. I remembered I had pre-ordered the print version. But anyway, so...
Yeah, it's good to see them experimenting, though, and trying different things.
And to tell you the truth, I kind of like the weekly idea anyway.
Yeah, if it's weekly and short and small, then eventually brings OMAC back to me, I'm all for it.
Yeah, see, and if that works...
Oh, my God, I forgot how we got here. Okay.
Yeah, that's how we got there. You were talking about that, and they've already got something like that planned, so...
Yeah.
Murray's a Nostradamus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally.
Alrighty.
So, the best miniseries at DC right now, in my opinion.
Well, I agree with you. They,
Penguin Pain and Prejudice, and this is number 3. Mm-hmm. It's written by Greg Hurwitz and art by Szymon Kurdranski. Did I get that right, or did
yeah,
I?
Yeah, another foreigner.
Oh God, those foreigners. This is
no offense, Murray. You're one of us.
Yeah, totally.
but Chris, to him, we're foreigners. So.
Well, that's true. I'm sure he is. Lisa, yeah.
So, this is not telling the origin of Penguin, though it is. I mean, it's built into the story, but this is just how Penguin operates within Gotham City and you know, how freaking scary this guy is. And why? Why he's so scary? I mean, how screwed up his childhood was.
And, yeah.
How he's translated that into just, you know, being the quiet badass, kind of the, what was the character from Usual Suspects?
Oh, you got me there.
This is going to kill me. Anyhow, what was the bad guy's name in Usual Suspects?
I never seen that movie, so don't spoil it.
Don't
know.
Remember.
Okay, anyhow. Yeah. Just a quiet guy, goes around and works behind the scenes. He looks like a joke, but he is no joke. And that's how Greg Hurwitz writes him. He is no freaking joke. Take the Penguin seriously as a bad guy, folks.
I have to admit, I have never taken Penguin seriously until this.
Yeah, I mean, Danny DeVito totally ruined him for me as a serious character. So.
Well, he was actually scarier than usual, but still.
Scary, but he wasn't a badass. I mean, he ate fish. No. So.
Yeah, you're right.
But this is great. This is the first book from DC that I have 100% committed to buying the trade paperback, even though I'm buying the monthly.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So, get it, enjoy it. It may not even be for everyone. I have to say it right off the bat. The art's dark.
It's
muddy, but it works.
So. Yeah, I agree. Very good.
And does the big old bat show up in the book?
Yeah,
or is it mostly? Oh, he does.
Mm-hmm. Sort of. He's almost plays a background character. Yeah. Background presence. I was
just gonna say that. Background character.
All right.
Which is fun. I mean, because it's Penguin series. It's not Batman series. So. It's funny. My two favorite books from DC right now are bat centric. So.
Oh, so you've been converted, huh?
Well, I'm not reading the rest of the Bat books.
I know.
Murray, if you're not when this comes out in trade, Snatch,
I will totally take a look.
You will like this a lot. It is very intellectual. On the surface, it appears talky, but it ain't.
No, it's a lot. It's a lot of Hitchcock kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
And just subtle as hell stuff going on in this book.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
Totally takes advantage of the visual medium. And the letterer should get a lot of credit in that book, too, because there's little things that pop up in the background that you have to read and then go, oh, that ties in, like the gravestones at the mortuary. Mm. So, anyhow, okay. Mm-hmm. Red Lanterns, number 4. A Red Lantern tale never has a happy ending, so brace yourself for the tragic tale of Galox, Sizzlius Zox, and Ratchet. A violent piece set the stage for the new life of Seekers of Bloody Vengeance.
I'm thinking there's a lot of rage in that book. I'm just going, that's just what my gut says.
I wouldn't know.
I'm surprised this book is lasting. Like, this is a book I would have pegged as being not able to stick around. But I guess it's got an audience, so.
They still got the tie-in with that cartoon, so. Which, they just showed one episode, and I thought it was coming out now, but they did it like an hour-long thing, and then I guess it's not coming until the summer, so I don't know. It's on Cartoon Network.
Right.
Which, it's the CGI animation and it's looks blocky and it was good, but I don't really care for the animation. But of course, I said the same thing about Clone Wars too. So
yeah, I don't like the Clone Wars stuff. So
it took me a while to get used to it, but it's okay now. So, anyway.
Are any of us reading this? I'm sorry. Red Lanterns?
No.
Okay, well, that was easy.
Yeah.
By the way, Kaiser Soze was the bad guy in Usual Suspects.
Okay.
So that is who Penguin is to me in Penguin Pride Breakers. Okay.
Gotcha.
See where my focus is?
There you go.
That's okay. I mean, you know. I would have done the same thing because that always bugs the crap out of me. Who was in that movie? What was the name of it? It's like, yep, IMDb. You got to check it out.
Oh, I didn't even go IMDb. It popped into my head for some reason.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Even better.
So we'll skip Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? And we'll move on to Static Shock. Still Rosam getting credit on the cover, or in the book.
Yeah, I don't think he left till 6.
Is it that late? Okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, in the thing, yeah, this, in case you haven't listened to our other episodes, this is one of the ones getting canceled, and Rosam had, quote-unquote, left the book. He wrote a thing on his blog about why he wasn't, they just had him on there as a writer, but he wasn't really used that well. In fact, the character on the cover, this Guillotina, is one of the few contributions he was allowed to make to the book. Didn't say all that nice stuff with them, which I think we had discussed on a Facebook page that he probably hasn't got any more work done, which I think Zombie disappeared from the solicitations. So I don't know. This book, I'm still getting it. I like the first one. My thing is Scott McDaniel's art. You know, I like his art. I always have when he did Batman, Nightwing with Chuck Dixon. I've always been a fan of his, and that's the main reason. You know, I got it in the first place. And the thing with this book, I read it, and yeah, that's not bad. And then I forget it. You know, I pick up the next issue, which there's been a lot of cold starts in this book. It's like you open the page and he's like in the middle of a fight with somebody. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute, I don't remember this. And you go to the previous issue and it's like, okay, well, there's nothing in here about this. You know, it seems like the last two or three issues have been this way. In fact, this one is. He's like, it starts off, he's in this fight with this Guillotina chick. And I'm like, what the hell? And I look at the one before that and he wasn't fighting that person. So it's made it kind of confusing. So anyway, still like McDaniel's art, but from what I've read, he seems like he was overwriting a lot of the things that Rosam had done, and anything that Rosam did, it was overloaded or overridden by him, and anything that McDaniel did and Rosam made comments on, they ignored him and fluffed him off. That's just what Rosam is saying. So I'm not sure if I'm going to continue. I think I got number 5. It's only 3 more issues. I might as well get the complete set. So, but I had high hope for this book, and it's kind of slowly going downhill, and it seems like we know why. So, but anyway, that's my take on it.
Alrighty.
Enough said.
I got nothing to add.
Nope.
Stormwatch number 4, written by, for now, Paul Cornell.
Yeah.
Art by Miguel Sepulveda. Yeah. Earth is being eaten alive as the unstoppable alien antibody continues. Stormwatch awakens a slumbering something buried deep within the Earth, but has the team found an ally or a threat greater than the antibody? Fun book. Wonky, weird, you know, any book that can have the moon as the big bad for a couple of issues has got me, at least for the time being.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, my thing with this is, and I think it was a number 5 when it did it, it's building up, and I think number 6 is when that new writer takes over.
Yep.
It's like between, I know we're not talking about 5s, but it was like some jump the sharkage happened in 5, it seemed like to me. We can talk more about that then, but I really like this book. It's quirky and all that good stuff, and I don't know. It's a good book. I'm not. I've got a bad feeling about it continuing after he leaves, though.
I don't know. Jenkins is holding up his own. So.
Yeah. Well, I just think that they're going to change it so radically that it's not. I mean, it is, but not the same book. You know what I mean?
I think there's a tone that they expect from Stormwatch. I genuinely do. I think there's an stat. There's a history. And there's a way that people expect this book to read, that if they go away from it, you're absolutely right, the book will crash and burn, because it will not be able to differentiate itself from Justice League in any way, or it will become just another Justice League book. They need to keep it as distinct as they are, as Cornell has made it right now. And if they do, if they move away from it, that huge mistake. So.
Mm-hmm.
And they're keeping all these characters off Earth, or they're on Earth but they're hidden, or
they're I don't think it really matters. I mean, they go wherever.
No, but I mean currently, like they're like we're not seeing them anywhere else in the DCU, so they're all
no. Well, except for Martian Manhunter,
right?
We haven't seen him yet. Where else? Oh yeah, no. He popped up in Green Lantern, didn't he?
Yeah, Green Lantern Corps.
Okay.
And he was in number 5 as well, I think.
He popped up in something else. I don't remember if it was the number 4 or number 5 of something recently as well.
The only one I've seen him in is Green Lantern Corps, unless it's something else, one of the ones I'm not reading.
I want to say he popped up in Voodoo. I may be wrong about that. Lost. What?
Lost.
Oh, Legion Lost. Yes. Right, that's it.
Was he in Legion Lost?
Yes.
Where?
Issue 5.
Oh, I haven't read that yet.
There you go. Oops.
That's okay. No biggie.
But no. Even still, like, you expect to see Martian Manhunter in the DCU floating around. The other guys, you don't necessarily expect to see. So are they? How are they keeping them off of?
They haven't set where these guys are yet. I know the question you're asking. They haven't said, okay, this is how the DC universe views Storm, or how the characters in the DC universe view Stormwatch. I don't even know if they've established that the DC universe, it knows that Stormwatch exists.
Right. I don't think they do. I think they only know Martian Manhunter.
And he may be and he's still a public hero, clearly.
Yeah.
But that's a great question, and I, as far as I know, it hasn't been addressed. Matter of fact, it kind of was in the battle that they had in number 4, where they said, hey, the rest of the heroes are going to show up any time now. You guys better, get your shit together and get this solved.
That projectionist manipulated the media to make them go somewhere else, too. Wasn't that it?
But yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're trying to stay. They don't want to be discovered. So that's a good point, Murray. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's kind of a neat idea to have like this hidden group of heroes floating around out there working behind the scenes. It's neat.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right. Neat. And it's going to cross over with Superman and Grifter in a couple months here, I think.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. Cool. And hopefully they pull the same kind of crossover as they did with Omak and Frankenstein, where I hope they've just really tried their damnedest that you do not have to pick up the other books if you don't want to, because I don't want to have to pick up Superman, and God help me, I do not want to have to pick up Grifter. So. Sorry. Tangent.
No, that's cool, man.
Because they've done a great job with it in Superboy and Titans, where they're.
Oh yeah, I'm liking that. That's good stuff.
Yeah, we'll get there because I haven't been reading Superboy, but I have been reading Titans, and I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything. Like,
yeah. They've done a good
sense of what Superboy's about, and I can still follow along without having to grab another issue.
So speaking of books crossing over, which that's a real stretch, by the way, for a segue, Swamp Thing, number 4, written by fan favorite Scott Snyder, art by Victor Ibanez, and covered by Yannick Paquette, which was awesome cover, by the way. All across the world, those with primal connection to the forces of life and death can feel that something is very wrong. The war between the green and the other, we've heard that term before, over in Animal Man, has begun, and the Knights of Decay walk the Earth unchecked. But without Alec Holland, the Green has no champion strong enough to fight back. So there we go. The Other is mentioned here in Swamp Thing, when it was also mentioned back in Animal Man. So I like this book. I really do. Snyder is not necessarily hitting out quite out of the same ballpark as with Batman, but mm-hmm. it's a good, strong title.
Kind of good, spooky, yeah. Like early Alan Moore kind of vibes, like that type of storytelling.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's and unlike some of these other books where they're ignored, like in Batman Detective, where they had to create a whole new reporter for Batman to hook up with or Bruce Wayne to hook up with. Snyder is using the Swamp Thing mythos. He's got Abby Arcane walking around in there. Mentions of Matthew Arcane have come in. Strong connections to the Parliament of Trees. Again, another Alan Moore concept. I think that was an Alan Moore concept. Maybe it was pre-Alan Moore. I don't know, but that's where I know it from. Yeah, the vibe is there, definitely. This is if Alan Moore would ever read comics again, I don't think he would be disappointed with what.
So in Swamp Thing, have they got Alec acting as Swamp Thing? Like how are the two connected now, or do we not know yet?
They're still separate characters, Swamp Thing and Alec Holland, but yeah, they have a connection, and I, you know, you're pressing me on a point that I wish I could be more clear on. I apologize. I'd have to dig out my issues, and I'm not going to go there. But
man,
they're soulmates.
Lazy, 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 lazy.
That's okay.
They're connected, and there's a, you know, basically, people are calling, you know, they're calling him Alec Holland a pussy for not taking up the mantle of Swamp Thing. I mean, it's been said in kinder ways in the issues, especially by Abby Arcane, or whatever her last name is, because she's more a badass than she's ever been. She's actually a Harley riding, gun toting ass kicker. A little departure from how we usually see her, which is that almost the
Earth Mother.
Yeah, Earth Child, yeah. Hippie.
So she wants her Swamp Thingy back. She doesn't want to be boning no Alec Holland. She wants the Green Monster.
The man. Okay.
Well, you know, I've heard that once you go green, you won't go back. Sorry, I went there.
There's no
education. You know, it they haven't gone completely psychedelic like they did in a couple of the Alan Moore ones, but you know, when the story does cross over into the green, it's visually incredibly stunning. The dialogue, Scott Snyder, God, the man can dialogue, and it's a different tone than over in his Batman. Though we won't talk about number five of Batman yet, but.
Wow.
The tone, he has a distinctive voice separate from his Batman voice.
And that's that shows you a good writer right there.
Yeah.
Right on.
So, and again, as I said before, they're going to be crossing this over with Animal Man. I hope for the sake of people who are reading one or the other, they don't need to pick up both. I hope Jeff Lemire and Scott Snyder are just going to write their own stories that use the other person's character. And but there's they've been really pushing for the fact that the red and the green are very tightly tied together. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
That's good. Cross. Good deal. Good deal.
I hope so. And funny, the next solicitation on the December list is Watchmen. By the way, a Watchmen trade. So.
Yeah, well, isn't that the Absolute Edition new printing?
Yeah, card? Right, you're right.
Yeah, that's... I haven't got that one yet. I need to get it.
So, week two?
We move into week two.
Yes.
With Gail Simone's Batgirl. Mm-hmm. Batgirl's secret past finally catches up to her as she races to the final confrontation with the sociopath Mirror. all the answers start right here in this thrilling issue, which I did not read.
Yeah, it was actually good.
Okay. I liked it.
I'm glad they didn't draw that mirror thing out any longer.
No, I think 4 issues was plenty. They could have maybe been 3, but I'm fine with 4.
Yeah, I could see it going in 3, but you're right.
Is this the one where they revealed, where she revealed how she got to walk again?
No. Let's see. Issue 9.
I know, she's been like, why do people care? It's like, well
hello.
Care.
She talks about her mom leaving, though.
Now, is that a departure? Like, I always thought,
you know, they got, it seems
there
like
wasn't
they,
mom.
Her, that Gordon and, well, okay, first, if you really want to get back to it, at very first, she wasn't Gordon's kid in the first place.
Well, no. Like, in the 60s, she was.
Well, she was niece.
Yeah, she was. Yes, she was.
No,
yes.
She was his daughter.
No.
It was Frank Miller. It was Frank Miller who said she was the adopted niece.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was her brother's
yeah.
kid. Right? Okay. I'd forgotten about that.
And then
it was Miller that did
she
that.
She was.
Frank Miller threw that out there and then walked away.
I always thought it was the other way around.
Nah.
Okay. Well, that's fine. I haven't read that in a while.
Either way, I don't think it was a mother. Figure was there like
I never saw one until it was in Batman Year One.
Okay,
and that
I recall,
and that was when he established that Barbara Gordon was not in fact. Or that's when Frank Miller established that Barbara Gordon wasn't
right. I think they did that to deal with the age difference, right?
Probably
because he was getting older and she wasn't. I mean, seriously.
That's how all parents feel.
Anyway, and she seems a lot younger in this book than she did when they left old universe.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with the mom being introduced. I was trying to think, have we ever heard of her? Has she ever been around? Historically, I don't remember. I don't remember there being a mom. I remember Barbara being a, James Gordon being a, I was going to say an orphan, a widower.
or at least a single dad. Yeah.
I don't think that, I think you're, I don't think they ever mentioned it either way.
Even on the Adam West Campy show, he was a single dad.
Yeah.
So. He was TV's first single dad.
They just never went into it.
Yeah.
But, that's fine. A little drama in there, so. But yeah, it was a good solid issue. I like that.
I don't know about the mom.
It seems
at this point it seems a little forced to have.
Well, yeah.
But I mean, I'll follow it along. I'll see where it goes.
I think she's wants something. That's why she's back all of a sudden. Either that, or something happened that she left.
Because she was a spy.
Or she was threatened by one of Gordon's enemies and she didn't want to tell him and she left to blah, 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 so he could pursue justice unhindered or some stuff like that.
Right. All sorts of possibilities.
And if I just spoiled it, I apologize, but I'm just going over, standard trope stuff. So.
Right.
It fails some own defense, though. She tends to avoid cliche and standard pro.
Yeah, this is true.
She will fake with it, but she
She'll set you up and then she'll twist.
Mm-hmm. So I have a feeling that that's what everyone is going to be saying. Oh, she's there to screw with Barbara Gordon, and it's probably going to turn out that she's a face sucking alien or something.
Well, doesn't she kind of do like what Levitz does? He likes to screw around with the character's status quo anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and that's good. Like she should. She should keep it moving.
Mm-hmm.
And despite actually how I genuinely feel, she kind of does own the character, so she can she's taking.
Yeah. Over. Yeah. If anybody owns that character, it would be her. I would think.
Yeah, and, as much as I disagree with her being whiny about her appearing in Birds of Prey,
Well, you know.
She at least does own the character from her own book.
Right.
This is true.
All right. Good solid issue.
Mm-hmm.
Next.
Batman and Robin, number 4. Batman and Robin are at the mercy of nobody as he forces them to embrace a new way of battle, a new way to battle crime and injustice, but Batman has other ideas. Plus, don't miss the origin of nobody. Mm-hmm. Peter Tomasi. Not a convert, Chris, but I really enjoyed this issue. I'm not going to buy it yet. I'm going to wait for the trades of it. But
That's fine. But I'm really enjoying the storyline.
I can't have more than one monthly Bat book. You know, taking Batwoman and Penguin off, you know, out of the equation. I can't have more than one book with Batman in it as the star. So I can't do it.
Well, you know, as I said before, I really like this book. They're building on the Batman mythos in this. It's nobody characters from Batman's past. And in number 5, they explore that even more. I just like it. It's really good. It's the art makes it really gritty, and it's I think, in my opinion, it's up there, almost up there with Batman itself.
Hey, real quick, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just saw Brian Nixon logged on. Do you want to see if he wants to finish up this episode?
It's up to you. Yeah, we can bring him in.
Sure.
This is good. I mean, we're right at the beginning of this week of books, so. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Yeah, sure. If he wants to join, ask him and have him send me have him send me his, you know,
credit card.
Well, not that. Well, if he wants to, but you know, his Skype name. So yeah, it's up to him.
Go ahead. Keep talking. I'm gonna go ahead and mute then. I'll be back. Okay.
No, but I'm really liking this. And number 5 is very, very strong issue. But yeah, he's still not treating Damian as a partner, more like his son. Which, you know, it's just really good stuff. And nice little throwback there in the beginning of the book to the old Batmobile from the 60s TV show. I don't know if you read this or not, Murray, but they're sitting in an old drive-in, and he's got him tied up in this old car, and it looks like the old Batmobile, all beat up, you know. No wheels and everything else, but it looks just like the old Batmobile, and I thought that was kind of cool. So
that is cool.
It's obvious tie-in, and but yeah, so very, very well done, I thought.
Good. And it's continuing, like the story is still.
Yes, number 5. I'm not sure. I think it goes on through 6, actually. I know number 5 does, because I read that, and that was really good. And yeah, it's good. I think, I'm pretty sure it goes on to number 6. I'll check.
I think it would, because he has a similar style to, what's his name, Geoff Johns.
Yeah, uh-huh, it goes on to 6. And, in fact, even on to 7.
Okay. Well, that's kind of cool, then. Breaking with the...
Oh, wow, even on to 8.
There you go.
So, yeah, it's a good storyline. But yeah, looks like Mr. Nixon will be joining us.
All right.
Yeah, it's, number 5 is more of a background on Batman. Then, I mean, it kind of tells the background of what the deal is between this nobody guy and the other. It talks about him training when he was, you know, training to be Batman, the stuff he went through. He'd already been to 2 of the 6 trainers that he'd had that they established in an earlier issue when he came up with this Ducard guy. So, yeah, and that's from way back, a Ducard character. And they used that in even in Batman Begins to some point. So,
yep. I remember in the cartoon, I don't remember which cartoon it was, but they had the whole thing where he went to the dojo up in the the hill. They were all
and the Bronze Tiger was there.
Yeah, that I kind of I keep hoping they're going to go that direction with this. Like, I don't think they are, but I always thought that was...
Well, they actually he actually mentioned by name to, I don't remember him off the top of my head, two of the people that he had went to before he went to Ducard. So I like that they're doing that. And, cool. Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I really like this, is the fact that they're doing that. So, but yeah, I really like the book. It's great stuff.
Like I said, I can only fit Batman as the star of a book in this.
I understand.
I'll take him in Justice League. I think he fits there, but
yeah, he does kind of fit in Justice League.
It's cool that it's going to be like an 8-issue opening storyline. I think that's cool. I'm glad that they're playing around with.
Oh yeah, they're definitely
story conventions.
They're definitely kicking that in there, for sure.
So, what do you think of that the rumor of Robin's series?
You know, I don't know if that's a great idea. I mean, that's taking it's already the way they're doing it. He's had five Robins in that many years, and that just breaks.
Whoa!
All right.
Yep, I'm fine.
Okay.
Slipped on the steps.
Did it break anything?
Nope.
All right. Okay. Because I don't, you know, what your 911 is over there, so.
No, I'm good.
Okay. All right. All right.
Wow, that was drama.
Yeah, that sounded Ooh, like drama. You took a bad tumble there.
Yes. Stepped on the dog and slipped down the stairs.
Nice. okay.
I think I saw that in a horror movie once.
Yeah, that's that doesn't sound all that great. So we wait for Brian, or are we gonna continue?
I don't know. We'll keep going. That's not a very Final Destination. It stepped in the dog and tripped and fell, and there was a knife at the bottom of the stairs, but didn't actually fall on the knife. The knife flew up and cut the chandelier, and then the chandelier killed Murray.
There you go. Yeah, no, I'm fine.
All right. Okay.
All right. All right. Batwoman.
Yes.
Four.
Wow.
Yes, indeed. Continues to be a wow book.
Oh, that's right. It's this book. Yeah, there were some... that was intense. Two different kinds of action going on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I asked it elsewhere, if I asked it on the show, but was this the... I mean, this was... Was this like the first like lesbian kiss we've seen in a mainstream DC book?
Well, there's more than kissing going on.
I'm thinking of number three. You're right. Yes.
Yeah, they kissed, and I'm sure that you know that's the deal. But here, hold on. Ready to add in Mr. Nixon.
Okay.
One second.
Well, it still won't equal the scene in Legion number 5 with Light Lassen.
Oh, hey, I haven't seen that.
You haven't? Oh, okay, wow.
Legion number 5, I've looked through it, but Mr. Nixon, are you with us, sir? Hello.
We're on Mr. Nixon's enemy list. Thank you.
Well, I sent him a thing, but I don't know if he can hear us or not. Hello?
I just pinged him. I don't know.
Anyway, yeah. I don't think they have ever shown a quote-unquote love scene like this, though.
Okay. Well.
I'm pretty sure I would remember it if they did.
You hear me?
I mean, I think the closest they've ever done is, like, hit around at it with Shrinking Violet and Lightning Glass.
Which you know, they did more than hint about it in number 5. But
right, well. I mean, they showed them, you know, but this was a lot farther than that. And, okay. You know, and so this might be the one that made that Fox affiliate just go crazy. You know, you never know. But I do like, you know, you got the different, there's a little bit different art style between the two scenes. I thought that was kind of cool. I don't know.
I thought this issue, yeah, was super well done. It was,
Yeah.
I thought it was just cool the way they bounce between the two. The two moments there between.
Yeah, the fight and the other. Yeah, I agree. It's really good.
Now, when do we have the fill-in art? Is that a number? That's on number six. Okay.
I don't remember.
No, it is. It's number six that we get the.
Amy Reeder comes on. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Which that will be my test for this book because I've said it elsewhere. I think
hello.
I'm concerned.
Ah, there he is. Hello, Brian.
Am I on now?
Yes, you are. You are on
microphone.
You are on live.
And we were just finishing, Brian. So thank you for dialing. No, I'm kidding.
Awesome.
Okay, everyone, this is Brian Nixon. He's on the comic forums, and he's in our Facebook page. Talks every once in a while. And we're in the middle of talking about Batwoman number 4.
Now your gnome is a fig painter for those who know him,
yes.
Right?
It is, correct.
Yeah. Okay. All right, give us a little bit about yourself real quick.
Let's see, fig painter because I paint action figures.
Oh, okay.
I customize, you know, figures. I'm from Utah, and I don't know. And anything else that really isn't important at this point.
Okay. We can always
married,
go.
Married, three kids, and been reading comics for, you know, 30 years. So there you go.
Oh, all right. We can go more in detail how you got started on the next episode that you
sure.
were going to join us.
And I'll have to ask you about Zion National Park because we're hoping to head up there later this year. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I used to go there every 3 weeks on business.
Oh, cool.
Then I will hit you up for more later.
Yep, right. Definitely.
But, yeah, we were just talking about Batman 1 number 4, and we're trying to decide if this is the first such lesbian love scene that we've seen in here.
You know what? I don't read Batwoman, so.
Oh, well.
I'm out of the loop on that one.
Well, you missed something. Let me tell you.
Apparently.
I mean, it's not R-rated by any means. It's a good PG-13, at least. You know, not that there's anything wrong with that in any shape of the, you know, but.
I think we're in agreement that we all support the.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't like, okay, let's put it this way. It wasn't like Catwoman number 1. They did it tastefully. You obviously know what's going on, but they did it. I think it was tasteful, don't you? It wasn't like up in your face like Catwoman.
Oh, so many jokes.
Yeah, I know. I know. But anyway.
Chris, you set him up.
So, yeah. Oh, and, by the way, Brian, I have a terrible cold, so that's why I sound like hell.
You know, I wouldn't have known.
Oh, well, yeah, that's yeah, okay.
You sound like hell, man.
No, I know. I feel like it. But, yeah, and, you know, there's some brutal stuff in here, too. Interesting. I just love this guy's art. It's just so good.
Yes.
It is a, you know, a good read and a good look at the same time.
And, again, like I said, my concerns will be addressed about whether this book could survive without this art team on there come number six when Amy Reeder.
Well, she's a good one to do, so.
Yeah,
now, I was under the impression that she's been doing part of the book anyway. Doesn't she do the when it's not Batwoman, doesn't she do the art?
That's a good question. She's not credited in here. She might. Well, I mean looking, you know, we even said how the art style is a little different in a couple of these scenes. Let me look here. There's colors, Dave Stewart. No, I don't see anything her name in here at all.
Okay, maybe I'm misremembering.
Didn't they do? Was it a zero issue or a?
Yeah, she did that in a zero issue.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
They should have put that in the Elegy trade. I think that is an excellent issue. But yeah.
This issue though, it changes the game and it pushes things forward. It's great. I love seeing the Inspector Bones, whatever his name is, Director Bones.
Yeah, Director Bones.
Moments.
Mm-hmm. Again, so many jokes.
That's right.
yes, sir.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Wait a minute. What?
we'll explain it offline, Caleb.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I feel so infantile. So next, alphabetically is Deathstroke, written by Kyle Higgins, art by Joe Bennett, and Art Thibert, with
Bear.
Cover by fan fave, personal fave, Simon Bisley. Deathstroke, incarcerated, as the world's fiercest mercenary is shipped off, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the Blackhawks may be a perfect. Oh, well, maybe I should have picked this up. I actually like Blackhawks. So.
Anybody reading that?
Nope.
I'm holding out for the Liefeld issues.
Ah, okay. I'm not. Are you serious?
Oh, no.
Okay, I didn't think so. Because I know there's not enough shoulder pads in comics right now.
We were going to have to call you. We have to go, Brian, give us your review of Deathstroke numbers 9, please, or 8, or 6, or whatever. I guess not.
You know, of all the people, though, to draw him, why not? You know, I mean, it's a character that's
well, at least he already had big guns before he's coming on it. So it's not like you're going to take a character who didn't have great big guns and shoulder pads. I mean, of any of them, he probably would have had big guns anyway.
Exactly.
So, you know.
He's the Dirk Diggler of superheroes.
Yeah.
Yuck.
And it's not like you go into Deathstroke looking for a great deep storyline. So it's perfect for his writing skills, too.
Yeah, I would think so. Oh, wow, another member of the Liefeld bashing club.
No, you know, I don't mind his art. I really don't.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure I'm one of those people, there's a lot of people listening now going, what? Mm-hmm. But, yeah, his writing is, you know.
Yeah.
So we already talked about it, but let's move back in time about 40 minutes. Are you reading Hawk and Dove?
No.
Okay.
Not reading Hawk and Dove. I read the first one
and
was underwhelmed.
Oh, yeah. We all were.
So.
And I was saying before that I read number 4 and it wasn't bad. It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. So, I've said it on the forums that maybe having a writer artist being the same person might actually benefit the book. I don't know if Liefeld, I don't know his writing chops that well. So, we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. I think we can move on then to Demon Knights.
Yes.
Demon Knights.
Such a good book.
Yes.
My dogs have joined us into the podcast here. Apparently my wife has done something to scare the crap out of them because we're huddled around me shivering right now. Hopefully she's not doesn't have a drill or some other kind of power tools.
I didn't realize that on this issue that there was a fill-in artist, that a great choice of fill-in artist.
Oh, yeah.
I had no clue. Great
stuff.
That's
pretty close to the other guy, isn't it?
So, which is good. They should be doing that. If they're going to have someone so they can keep their monthly, bring someone in who, if not ape the style of the regular artist, at least come close to. So
I think the fill-in, the other artist does the scenes with Merlin and
okay,
I think that's what it is.
Well, this was another good issue. I like the retelling. I don't know. Did Morrison do the origin of Shining Knight when he did the Seven Soldiers miniseries?
I have no idea. I never read any of that.
He kind of gave her an origin.
Okay,
is it really a her or is it a he?
In that series, it was a her.
Okay.
And it's a her in this as well, per this issue, I think. I think it's...
Because I kind of got the impression it was like a little boy that never really grew up. Hmm. But I guess it is a little girl. Okay, that makes sense.
So, strong issue. Not, you know, even though it didn't have enough Vandal Savage in it, it's okay. I can deal with that.
I understand.
We all have our favorites, and he's my favorite. So,
okay.
I'm glad that Cornell's getting an opportunity to focus exclusively on this. I'm kind of curious how he's not able to do two books in a month, given he's a writer. Most of them usually can at least do two. But
I don't think it was his choice.
That's a shame too. But
because I think with Stormwatch they decided, hey, you know, I'm gonna be. This is where, whatever that character, the purple chick's name is. What the heck was that? Pandora, that's it.
Oh.
You might as well just call her Glorith and get it over with. That's just my opinion. But yeah, this is pretty good. It was a little confusing to me because I never read any of that Seven Soldier stuff, so.
Well, this was, he retold it as if it was a brand new origin. I was just curious. I have no stake one way or the other.
I'm gonna sneeze. Hold on.
Great issue. I like the characters. I hope they all get a focus like this. I'd like to see the origin of the how that Amazon character ends up getting kicked off Amazon Island.
I think that might be the plan too. I think I listened to him do an interview, and I think at some point he plans to get to all of the. All of the characters and give them a bit of a backstory and
well, that's good.
Spotlight issues. So,
how much are we spoiling on this?
We try not to do it too much. Sometimes we just say spoilers and go into it.
Well, then you know, you were talking about getting into the origins of that Amazon, but spoilers.
Oh yeah. Well, this is how long
sorry.
Ago was this?
You know what? You're 100% right. I'm sorry. I'm an idiot. I apologize.
Yeah, we haven't been doing that today, have we?
Oh.
So sorry, listeners. You've probably already turned us off. Of course, this was out over a month ago, too, so.
Yeah.
True. This is one of the few ones that I actually wait a month on.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you get it cheaper on Comicology?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Right. That's okay. I've read it. It's good.
Now we've been warned now. So
I hate to say it, I thought it was implied that she was that's what she was. But No.
I'm talking about the final page.
Right. Okay. Exactly. Good point.
All right.
Yeah, it was definitely implied that she's Amazon, Amazonian. But now, was it this issue or the last issue where they actually one of them says that they watched the storm. Kind of a little throwback to Cornell's, you know, to Stormwatch. I can't remember whether it was this one or the last one.
It was either three or four. You're right.
Because Merlin makes a comment that that's what he's learned to watch the storms or something.
I didn't catch that.
Well, there is a in the solicit for number four. It says, "Don't miss Merlin Watches the Storm." Featuring guest art by the sensational Mike Choi.
Oh, okay. Well, okay.
There you go. So, hey, I hope this book sticks around for quite some time.
Absolutely.
Can it survive without Paul Cornell? I think it could. I think that as much of a voice as he's individualized for this book, I think someone else could jump in.
I hope he does it.
Yeah, I hope not too.
Yeah. I am concerned about Stormwatch, though.
I did, you know, I have said that Paul Cornell is one of my faves out there. I that Knight and Squire series from last year was.
Yeah, sometimes I have problems with humor in superhero titles, but he actually did a pretty good job with that one.
His Marvel stuff was good as well.
Yeah, I think I've read some of that too. I don't remember.
So a book that I'm not reading, sorry, Frankenstein, Agent of Shade, Jeff Lemire, Alberto Uncelli, Monster Planet comes to its world-shattering conclusion as Frankenstein and Nina take on the massive sea monster, while Lady Frankenstein and the rest of the creature commandos go head-to-head with the colossal ogre Titan. Plus, don't miss the debut of G.I. Robot Squadron and the new War Wheel. Oh, no kidding, really? Cool. All right. Sorry. Okay. So, who's reading it?
I'm reading it.
No.
Nope.
That's just me, then. I don't remember the G.I. War Wheel thingamajiggy popping up in this.
Just read the solicit, man. Blame advertising.
Yeah. I thought it was a good issue. It's filled with, like, crazy monsters that Ponticelli just draws the heck out of. I don't love his regular people all that much, but his monsters and crazy people are excellent. Excellent. And for all the monster fighting and stuff that's going on, you get a couple of little character moments and stuff. There's hints that there's going to be a bit of a romance between Frankenstein and what's her name? Nina, the mermaid. She's not a mermaid.
The
Black Lagoon, the fish.
Yeah, the fish chick. Yeah.
The lagoon lady, yeah.
Yeah, I made a joke of fish chick. Sorry.
Those are good barbecued.
I heard.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is a good series. And this issue 4 wraps up the first storyline where they're head off and fight the monsters on this monster planet and save the little country town that they were saving, and they all come back and things are set up for the crossover in issue 5. So,
And what about the? You said you don't like how he draws normal people, but I know one of the main supporting characters is Father Time. And she's definitely normal looking, even with the costume.
Well, she is, but and you know what? He does her well. She's got he's got a good look for her. I think some of the nameless, like, drones and stuff on the little Frankenstein, what do they call it? The ant world, I think. And Ray Palmer looks a little goony, but you know, whatever. That's fine. Eventually, he'll get his moment in the sun, I'm sure. But yeah, for the most part, I mean, it's a good. If you want to see crazy monsters and creatures duking it out, this is the book for you.
And doesn't he pop up in? He's going to pop in one of the last issues of Men of War, I think.
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. He is going to be an 8.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And might be a good character. It sounds like with the new war book they're coming out with, it might be a good crossover opportunity.
Yes, yeah. They can. He may use that to set up some of the storylines that are coming up, or it'll just be a good one-off.
There you go. Anything else to add, anybody?
Nope, I got nothing.
Green Lantern, written by Jeff Johns, art by Doug Monkey and Christian Alamy. I'm sorry, I'm sure I butchered that. They've pillaged and enslaved his homeworld. Now the fear-mongering Sinestro Corps must face newly reinstated Green Lantern Sinestro. Can the renegade GL liberate his home planet?
Korrigar.
Huh?
Korrigar.
Korrigar, okay, if you say so. From the army he assembled. How ironic. I'm not reading it, so I'll let you guys do this.
Oh, it's really good. It's pretty obvious that Hal Jordan's not the focus of this book anymore. It's pretty much all Sinestro. Hal Jordan's in it, but he's not the focus of it. And I have to tell you, the way they developed the Sinestro character over Sinestro Corps of War and Blackest Night, I'm really liking it. I'm enjoying it. They're back on Korrigar right now, and he's got Jordan with a toned-down ring to kind of help him out, and they're trying to stop his core. Apparently, he built some safeguards into it. The battery. Spoilers again.
The yellow battery?
Yeah, he always intended to... have you read this, Brian, or are you reading it? Okay.
No.
But yeah, you get more of it in the next issue. I think I read 5. But, yeah, he built some safeguards into this and always intended to, well, I think that's why he's got the ring anyway. The ring chose him, and he's always had a loyalty to the core, even though he had the other. So, yeah, it's just a lot of stuff comes up, and, you know, he's confronted by the people that he, you know, was a tyrant over. And, you know, because of him, the Sinestro Corps is there, and they're, like, killing people trying to get him to come back. And it's just really, really raw, and it's good stuff. And there's no Bendis-itis in this like it is in Justice League. So it's really a good book. I'm enjoying it.
Might there be a need for them to rename it from the Sinestro Corps or something else if he's no longer their leader?
Yeah, well, I don't know. They might, but he's the one that created the battery, so I don't know.
Oh, see, I didn't know that, actually. I mean, you said it a few minutes ago, but it didn't click with me.
Yeah, it was after Jordan came back.
Oh.
And he still had a yellow ring, and he was still calling himself, you know, Sinestro. And he had that blue and kind of purple outfit, but it was and now that's all in one volume now, is the Sinestro Corps War. That's when I enjoyed the books that they had, but when it really became good is when that Sinestro Corps War came up. But he created this core himself, with help from some other, I won't spoil it because it's kind of a big reveal, but it's, you know, even though it's a couple years ago, I highly recommend reading that. They even they made an absolute edition of it, Sinestro Corps War. I bought the trades when they came out because they split it up, but they actually put it all in one trade that you can get. But I highly recommend that. It might even change the way you look at the Green Lantern stuff, but I'm sure they've got some of it on Comicology. I'd have to look, but Sinestro Corps War was just awesome. I think it set the bar high for Blackest Night, and it kind of lost its momentum about three quarters of the way in my opinion. But this, this all pulls into it, and it's really good stuff. So that's all I got to say.
Alrighty.
What can I say about that?
I see it.
Grifter. Anybody?
Nope.
Well, apparently number 4 had Green Arrow in it, just so you know.
I'm sure that was great, too.
Grifter ends up, somehow he goes from the Big Easy to Seattle, and I don't know how it happened. And
a plane?
Yeah, the plane. The last time he was in issue 1, he was on a plane. He got thrown out. So.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Maybe he was on his way to Anchorage and got thrown out of the plane. Ended up crashing into a building. I will note, we don't normally mention them here, Brian, but I will note, and the next listed on this list here is for Hitman trade paperback, number 5. So, good to see these being finally, these collections are finally ending up out there. So. As a huge fan of the boys, I will be picking these up, re-establishing my Hitman collection. Mm-hmm. Anyhow.
Never did get into that.
Wow, it was a great book. But, again, I like the boys. So. I like the boys.
Yes. I heard that about you.
Yeah. Oh.
Somewhere in Atlanta, someone's gaydar just went, bing!
All right, so Legion Lost, number 4. Fabian Nzuzga wrote it. Pete Wood's drawing it. How far is Timberwolf willing to go to rescue a teammate? Find out in the Lost search for the bioterrorist who had unleashed a deadly future virus. But how long before the military and the new heroes of the DC Universe decide to get involved? So, who's reading this?
I think all of us are, aren't we?
Legion Lost? Is that?
This is a good book, but I kind of wish they didn't have done it. I left them in the Legion, but, you know,
This could have been a miniseries. Love it, but it could have been a miniseries.
Still could be. You know?
Yeah, I don't know. And, you know, they got a new writer coming on. And I don't remember who it was.
Tom DeFalco.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Though he did do good on that Superman Beyond one shot. I don't know. It's just, I wish they'd have left him in and I don't know.
I'm enjoying this book a lot.
Well, I like it. It's just that, I don't know. It's one of those, was this really necessary kind of things. You know? But I'm loving the book.
Yeah, there were some scenes in this one that just, I loved how Nacy is a, like, there's the scene where Wildstar and Wildfire. Gosh, you think I don't know my Legion. And Tyrok.
Sorry, who are you again, sir?
Exactly. And Tyrok do the, hey, you take them low, I'll take them high. And just the teamwork there, you can tell that they, you know, they've worked on this before, but it's something that we haven't seen before. And
it is good, I have to admit.
Beautimous art.
I'm actually, the one thing that's making me curious in this book is I want to see the other mutations for the other Legion losters. I know that we've seen Timberwolves now, but I want to see the other six what their future mutations are.
Right.
Now maybe we've seen kind of it with Wildfire where we could, he's got a solid face under the mask. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that kind of calls back to way back in the Levitz run when Quizlet kind of...
That's right. That suit he made and he had...
Taught him how to...
Yeah, Quizlet taught him how to hold his energies together and then he didn't need the suit. But, I mean, it's not explicitly stated and who knows, maybe energy can be affected by the hypertaxis... Mm-hmm. Jibbity jab that's running through the town.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Murray with his technical ease, technique.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Jibbity this jab. Book also. Oh, go ahead.
No, that I'm done.
I just said this book further integrated the whole Wildstorm DC universe too, with the Black Razors showing up.
Oh,
wasn't that a Wildstorm thing, wasn't it?
I have no idea.
I think it was.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's a Wildstorm creation.
No idea. They look like that nobody guy, actually, from Batman and Robin. Multi-camera thing.
Well, they're going to be bringing in Nowhere into this book, so it'll be interesting. Maybe the Black Razors are going to are our hit squad for Nowhere in this new DC universe.
Yeah, that makes sense. They are somewhat young still, aren't they?
Yep.
Though they're probably older than the Teen Titans.
But they said from the beginning that Nicieza wanted them kind of almost de-aged a little bit. So.
That's right. Aren't they? They're kind of in the... This is in the Teen Justice line, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah, they're Young Justice line, yes.
Yeah, whichever they're calling it.
Yeah. And they have mentioned that Titans and this will cross over, so...
And Superboy. I think it's in all three of them.
Yeah,
that'd be interesting.
So definitely Nowhere is going to be popping up in this book.
Yeah.
All right. Mr. Terrific on the short list.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm not reading it.
For those that haven't heard, this is one of the ones getting canceled, and I'm kind of disappointed. Even though this is an above average book, as I've said earlier in the podcast, it's not like Batman, but it's not, you know, Savage Hawkman. It's still pretty good, and Mr. Terrific had retreated into the ninth dimension, and he got pulled into some kind of intergalactic war in that dimension, and it's kind of good. I believe I read the fifth one already, and has some really good, strong dialogue in it, and it's a good story. I mean, I'm sorry it's going to be seen going, but the stuff that's going to be replacing it, I think, to be completely honest, is going to be better than this. At least it looks like that. But I've liked this book. It's just, I don't know. It just, it just didn't sell well.
Have they ever said that he's firmly from Earth One, or could this be another case of the Huntress, where he's actually from Earth Two?
I
haven't read it, so I'm just curious.
Karen Starr was in it,
right?
And I know that they have established that Karen Starr is in fact from Earth Two.
That's a spoiler for number 5, by the way.
Oh, is it?
I think so. I think I saw that on the net somewhere.
Oh, well, I haven't read that yet, so I think I've got it, but... well, crap. Sorry about that, people.
I love how we spoil, and then we say, spoilers!
Well, yeah, well, I didn't know, so...
Hey, we marched to our drummer over here, right?
I'd heard about the stuff about Karen Starr on Newsarama in that interview with Lovitz, so I didn't know that was actually established in here. So
I don't know if they have established it. I
as far as he is concerned, no, I don't think they have.
Yeah. Either way, it'll be. I'm sorry the book's going. I'm looking forward to seeing where he shows up. I hope in Justice League in some capacity. Like he seems like a character that would fit in there.
Yeah, he should be doing that big stuff. You know. He was my favorite character. Well, one of my favorite characters in the JSA revival that Johns did, and I think David Goyer and James Robinson had something to do with that too. Back when that, however long ago that was, but I've always liked his character.
Yeah, and he works a lot better as a group.
I think so too.
A member of a group, even if he's the leader, he just seems like one of those characters that is really good as a member of a team.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, anyway.
All right, hey, guys, I have got to drop. I didn't realize how long we've been going. I have to go to the grocery store, but next book is actually one I'm not reading anyhow, so I'll leave it on my greatest adventure, and I'll catch up with you guys and let someone else drive this one for the rest of the episode.
So. Alrighty.
Alright.
Alright, guys.
Ciao. I'll have any left.
I'll talk to you guys later.
Alright.
Okay.
See you later.
See ya.
Hey, Brian, thanks for dialing in, man.
Yeah, thanks.
Hey, thank you. On. Thank you.
Alright, we don't have too many more. We're over 2 hours here, so.
Really? It seems only like 34 minutes and 18 seconds.
But anyway, let's see. Next one up, I can take it. Unless I'll try not to cough or hack into the microphone. Next one we got is My Greatest Adventure. Several different artists and stuff. But I'm really enjoying this. Garbage Man story, the Tango story is kind of fun. Robot Man and one I'm really liking. I'm liking Scott Collins art on it too.
Yeah, I am digging it. I wasn't sure which Scott Collins we were going to get. Like, if we were going to get the Scott Collins that was doing the last couple of issues of Justice Society, I wasn't going to be looking forward to it. But he's doing a great job. Like, it's – and even the way he's laying out the pages and the design of the book, it's good. He's doing great stuff. And Matt Kent, I hope we see more of him.
Yeah. Which stuff. Isn't he the one that's going to be switching back and forth with George Perez on that one book?
No,
that's Kevin McGuire.
Oh, okay, I got it mixed up. Which book was that again?
That's World's Finest.
That's right, okay.
Yeah.
I think I remember that. But no, I like this little, this is more of a true anthology than DC Universe Presents. The stories are interesting. The Robot Man one is the best out of all of it, in my opinion. The Garbage Man and the Tango one was carried over from Strange Worlds before the reboot, I think. That's what it was. But anyway, it's not bad. Oh, got to sneeze again. Hold on here, everybody. Continue on without me.
All right. Yeah, no, I'm enjoying it. I I like the I like the Robot Man story for sure, and Garbage Man is working for me. Tanga, I have such trouble getting through that.
Yeah, it's a little strange.
Yeah, I don't know if I sit down and read all four of them at once, like all four of those chapters at once. If it'll make more sense, but I find that one tough.
That's part of the problem is that story continues directly over from that Strange Worlds mini they did. So you're coming in the middle of it in the first issue of My Greatest Adventure. And it's not as obvious as the Garbage Man, but it is.
I don't know, like three or four issues in, you would think I should be starting to pick up what's going on. I don't know, it looks beautiful, but...
He's got pretty pictures.
But for me, the story is, I mean, if I never see Tanga again, that's fine. If she pops up somewhere, that's fine too. But
yeah, it's okay story. It's kind of funny.
Alrighty.
Next up, we have The Ray number one with Justin Gray, Jimmy Palmiotti, Jamal Igle. Rich Perotta. Let's see the synopsis. Get ready for a brand new Ray. Lucian Gates' life has changed forever when he is struck by a mysterious beam of energy that turns him into a glowing gladiator. And being a human ray of light comes in handy when his city is suddenly under attack from giant building-sized monsters. Unfortunately, light powers are less than handy in keeping his girlfriend handy. Yeah, we've touched on this character a little bit. He's effectively naked, but he, changes his reflectiveness of his body so it doesn't look like that. We've brought it up on several occasions that this is a fun book.
It's awesome. I really like it. Yeah.
It's got a little quirkiness. There's action, some jokes.
How many in there. Is it supposed to be four issues?
Just four issues.
Yeah. So, I really enjoy it. It's good. Justin Gray and Jimmy Palmiotti, they work well together.
They do, and they are varied in their abilities. Like, to go from Westerns to the Ray to they're going to do some of the war stuff. Like,
That's right. They're going to work on that.
All of their features sound different, and they have different voices in each of them. They're great. They're really, really good.
Now, I see pictures of Palmiotti all the time. Did they ever show what Justin Gray looks like?
I do not know.
It's just weird. I just thought of that the other day, and I'm thinking, I don't think I've ever seen a picture of him. But anyway, they do good stuff. So, yeah, that's a good book. You can pick that up. Not a very... Only four issues. I think only the second issue's come out so far. So, you still got time to pick that up if you want.
Yes, and Jamal Igle's artwork is awesome.
Yeah, it is good.
Totally kicking it out of the park on this one.
Yep, it's a really good job. I enjoyed it. Let's see, back to where we were. Yes, good stuff. Next up on the list, Resurrection Man. I'm not particularly reading that. I don't know about anybody else.
Not reading it.
No, I think I'm going to pick it up in...
Trade?
Digitally or trade.
I might read it later.
I haven't followed along with it yet.
It really didn't click with me. I didn't read the original either, so... I don't know, I might skip it, but it's just not my thing. Anything else on that one?
No, I can't.
Nope.
And now we're talking The Shade. James Robinson and, for now, Cully Hamner. I think he's going to switch up artists with that. Let's see. The Shade must make a trip down under to find the answers he seeks about his past. In Sydney, he encounters an old ally named Diablo Blacksmith, but deep in the heart of the outback lies a monstrous foe. One that the Shade must face completely on his own, and one that knows all of the Shade's weaknesses. Oh, and as it says on the cover, MTV Geek quotes, this is a perfect comic book. For all those people that felt cheated at Justice League Cry for Justice, read this book and James Robinson redeems himself. Number four is even cooler and I'm more awesome than this one. We'll get to that later. But yeah, awesome comic book. You let Robinson do what he's good at and you get a great comic.
The good Robinson is back, huh?
Yes, it is. It's really good stuff. The first three issues have been awesome. Yeah, that's right. I've read the fourth one already, and it's really good.
You know, I don't think there is a bad Robinson, though. I think there's overly edited Robinson.
Yeah, that's what the Justice League and the other one was, yeah.
And, I don't know. He's a team player, so he does.
Yeah, well, he even talked to do. In the Cry for Justice, there was text pieces in it. I don't know how many of those issues, and he even told what they wanted to do in that series in the first place was destroy all the big cities in the DC universe. But they just stuck with Star City, and you know it. I think that was like desperation talking before the Flashpoint. Some of the stuff they did. They were just doing anything they could to try to shake things up.
You know, I almost get the impression the months before Flashpoint, I wonder if it was just like, you know what, you guys just do whatever you want because it's not going to matter. Because there were so many things that happened, like the end of Justice Society, for instance, when Alan Scott dies. And that would have – oh, spoilers, sorry.
Yeah, I stopped reading that. At one point.
That would have been a big deal, but I think they just...
I didn't even know that happened.
It was such a non-issue by that point because, well, you know, do whatever you want. Make Superman do whatever you want. Make the Justice League into these people here. I think it was just a lot of people just started saying, whatever. It's not going to matter in a few months anyway.
That and then half their editors were off writing Flashpoint miniseries anyway. So
true.
So who was really looking at the books anyway? Yeah. Nobody.
I wasn't looking at that one, that's for sure. But yeah, that's a great comic.
Cool. I love how he introduces characters and just drops them into the story. I know.
I love it. How many issues? Is this supposed to be 12?
It's 12 issues.
12, yeah.
Yeah, they don't have that on the cover anymore.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, no, it's supposed to be 12.
That's what I thought. yeah, great book. Not much else to say about that.
No, it is. Yeah, it's awesome. Even if nobody does anything more with these characters, like, which would be a shame, but he drops them in there, and you get the sense that they've got this huge story that goes with them. You don't ever get a chance to see it, but. Yeah, it's great.
Let's see. Next up is Suicide Squad. Now, I'm not reading that. I don't know about you guys.
No, I'm not reading that.
I think Caleb is still reading it, so we'll have to ask him that next issue. Or episode. Episode, issue, same thing. Uh-huh. Oh, man. I'm tired of this cold already. I'm going to the doctor tomorrow.
Good plan.
Anyway... we'll ask Caleb about that. I'm still reading it. I've heard it got better after that first issue, which I thought it was still pretty strong, but it just, I don't know, just didn't click with me. So next up, is Superboy. And it's the last one on our list here.
Alrighty.
This one I'm actually enjoying. And I kind of, they've made this character kind of like the one in the Young Justice cartoon, like I had said before this came, and it's interesting. I like what they're doing with it, and you know how it's obviously going to pull in and with Titans and stuff, and it's a really good book. I'm enjoying it. Lobdell's done a good job. Oh, yeah, we need to talk about that. Lobdell, R.B. Silva, and Rob Ling.
Yeah, it's a book I'm going to have to come back to because I know I love Silva's artwork. And I think Lobdell probably tells a good story. I liked the first issue. I just haven't picked up the rest. I either will in trade or I'll check it out digitally, maybe.
Yeah, this is kind of filling issue, so you know it's not like really big essential to the plot. So,
so at this point, like, what's? I think the end of issue one, we just kind of get Superboy coming out of the egg or whatever, and he's pretty much a blank slate. Where is he now? Four issues in.
He is still kind of a blank slate. He knows what's. It's more like, you know. Well, it's like there's a scene. You know, he tries to get in with normal people, and you know, he just can't understand humans. And every once in a while, he'll do something like, you know, he accidentally set the Christmas tree on fire in Rockefeller Plaza.
Oh, come on, who hasn't done that?
Well, you know. And then it's like somebody. He doesn't have any morals, really. They haven't been programmed into him. So it's like he makes a split decision whether he needs to do something or not. But I think, like, for example, he's hovering up here and somebody gets thrown out a window and he's like, oh, this doesn't have anything to do with me. But then he goes and saves the guy anyway. And he says, so why am I feel compelled to help? Well, that's obviously the Superman part of his DNA.
Right, right. Now, is he are the nowhere people sending him out to do stuff, or is he still? Yeah,
well, I think he snuck out. He snuck out in this issue to do whatever.
Okay.
But yeah, they're sending him because in the next issue, that's when. Well, this issue kind of falls in because at the end of it, they give him the thing, go after Wonder Girl, which ties into Titans 4, and then Superboy number 5 is kind of like sort of a continuation of that.
Right, right.
So, if I remember correctly. So, yeah, I mean, they do tie. These tie in very tightly, but not to the point where you have to get both, I think.
That's the way to do it.
So, yep. Yeah. But anyway. Yeah, it's a good book. I like it. I'm just interested. The thing that keeps bringing me back is I never did care for the. You know, little round glasses jacket Superboy that they had back in the 90s. I've hated that character. And at one point, it's funny, I finally got to start liking the character, and then they did the reboot, and we got this. But I like what they had done in that Young Justice cartoon, and that, I mean, this is almost identical. But, you know, his kind of motivation is whatever will get me in good graces with these people that have control over me, I'll do it. And then sometimes it's like whatever part of it is in him, he's like, he makes, it's like, okay, I don't really like where this is going. But, you know, so that's kind of, he is a blank slate as far as that. He knows things, but not, you know, he overestimates himself sometimes. And they're exploring more of that tactile telekinesis, too. It's not just an excuse to give him Superman powers. He has more than. You know, they did something in one of the – I forget it was either Teen Titans or Superboy that was like, oh, well, that's new. So, anyway, I think it's a good book.
All righty. One to check out.
All righty. Anything anybody wants to add? I think some of the books you wanted to talk about we're covering next week, so if you want to hold off
on
that.
Sounds good.
Brian,
excellent.
We can do that, and unless there's anything else you want to add –
I think I'm good.
All right. So, that's what we will wrap it up. If anybody's still awake, you can contact us at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com. The Facebook page is got lots to do. Well, we got about 55 people on there. So, you know, come in and join us. I was talking about last week. That last month we got over pretty close to 1,000 downloads, so there are people out there. Just let us know what you think. Got any ideas for a podcast? After we're done laughing, we might actually consider it. It didn't sound as funny as I thought it was going to. So because I'm all clogged up. Hopefully, I won't be Mr. Snotty Pants when we convene next week. Hopefully, this will be done. But anyway, that's about it.
Pharmaceuticals, my friend. Lots and lots of pharmaceuticals.
I'm about to kick some more in here right now, as soon as we get done. So anyway, that's about it. And until next week.